Ready? Parshas Pinchas. Pasuk starts off. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Pinchas ben Oz ben Aaron Hakohen Yeshivas Chamazim Yael bnei Yisrael b'Kanoz Kinasi b'Socham. Melchilisias bnei Yisrael b'Kinasi. Pinchas, the son of Elasu, the son of Aaron Hakohen, returned my wrath from Am bnei Yisrael when I was very angry with them, and I didn't destroy bnei Yisrael out of my anger, out of my pure anger. David, come. Lots of questions. First of all, this parsha really starts in Parak Chafei Pasuk Aleph. This is Pasuk Yud. It starts in last week's parsha. People ask me, why doesn't it start with Pasuk Aleph by Yishu Yisrael B'Shitin? The simple answer to the question is, it wouldn't be Parshas Pinchas. It would be Parshas Shitin, because Pinchas isn't mentioned until about Pasuk Ches, and therefore it would sort of mess everything over. This Pasuk Zion is what he's mentioned. Mess everything over, it wouldn't be Parshas Pinchas. That's the easy answer. That's not the real answer. The real answer is because it is totally different parshas. Why? Pinchas belongs in Parshas Balak. What happened? Balak is told in a nevuah, in a prophecy. Balak is told in a nevuah, in some type of a prophecy, that the way to get Bnei Yisrael down is to use the letters Kuf Beis Hei. Kuf Beis Hei. Those letters, he thought, refers to the word Kava. Kava means the word curse. So he thought that the way to get Bnei Yisrael, the way to destroy Bnei Yisrael, is to curse Bnei Yisrael. To use the Kava and curse Bnei Yisrael. Thus, he sent over to Bilam. He said, I can't do it myself. I'm not allowed. I have no idea how to curse. I know how to do magic, but I can't do anything else. So let's destroy Bnei Yisrael by cursing them. So Bilam, at first he tried testing him, he said the word Ara, and then he said Kava, okay, whatever. In the end, he was wrong. Bilam didn't realize that until the very, very end. He looked at it, and he said, why did you say that we should curse Bnei Yisrael in the first place? Because something went wrong. We kept blessing them. Something's up with that. Something happened. So what happened that screwed everything up? What was it? So they looked at the word again, and they said, it's not Kava. It's Kuba. It's Kuba. And that's when Bilam starts his last prophecy. He says, Yotcha, I'll give you advice. I finally figured out what's going on here. It's not Kava. It's not to curse Bnei Yisrael. That's not going to work. God's not going to let that happen. It's Kuba. Kuba means we'll destroy Bnei Yisrael with Znus. Destroy them with Znus. The Kuba shall Znus, which refers to a house of ill repute. Turn that Kuba into Bnei Yisrael. Make Bnei Yisrael fall into that Kuba, and then everything will go bad. But otherwise, nothing will happen to them. Balak took that advice and said, 100%, I'm all with you. And he started the Kuba. He started the massive house of ill repute by making the Shukos of Znus. That's why it's in Parshas Balak. Because the whole Parsha of Pinchas is really connected with Balak. It was Balak's idea. He's the one that sent around Cusby. He's sent around everything. And it all started from the original advice that Balak had sent to Bilam in the first place about Kava, and thus it became Kuba, and everything got messed up. Zimri was all in onto this. Zimri knew what was going on, and he realized there was something up with this. And remember, why was Balak so afraid of Bnei Yisrael with Moav? There's nothing to be afraid of. Moav is not that bad. They have nothing to be afraid of because Hashem told them, I'll taught Sarah's Moav, don't go anywhere near Moav. They asked Moav if they could go through their land. Moav told them no, so they went around the land. They asked Amon, they went around the land. What's Moav afraid of? They already passed you up. There's nothing to be worried about. What Balak was afraid of is because he knew that eventually somebody was going to come from Moav who was going to be a Preda Tova, Rus. And once that Kedusha left Moav, once Rus left Moav, the rest of Moav would be totally destroyed. There'd be nothing left in Moav. There'd be nothing left to them. And then all of Moav is going to be destroyed. And that's what ended up happening after Rus left. You never hear of Moav after that. You know they're there, but Sancheriv didn't even care enough about them to move them away from their land. He just let them be destroyed. It's a crazy little thing that Balak thought, you know what's going to happen? The Kedusha's going to leave. All the Kedusha is going to be gone, and we're all going to die. Everything's going to die. So he wouldn't allow Bnei Yisrael to even look at them. He didn't want them to be even close to them. And he said, get them away from me. Agershenem min ha'aretz, he said twice, get them away from my land. I don't care where they were going to be. Just Agershenem min ha'aretz, let's get them rid of them from off the land. What's the deal over here? Zimri is 150 years old, at least, according to the Chassam Sofer. At least 150 years old. His real name is Shlumiel ben Tsuri Shadoi. I don't know if anybody else has a name like that, but if your name is Peace of God or Completeness of God, the Son of the Rock of God, that's the most awesome name. It's just like God, 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 God. If you're named that, I mean, there's God Sham God, that guy, that basketball player, you know, that's a great player, but like, if your name has God in it four times, you can't mess up. There's nothing you can do. It's really hard to. But he turned into Zimri. What happened with Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shader that all of a sudden he got messed up at the age of 150? You can't say that he had crazy taivas, that he had crazy desires for Kazmi. He's 150 years old, at least. According to Chassam Sofer, he wants to say he's 250. That's a big, big Kiddush. But he's at least 150 years old. Plus, it's strange. The Medrash says he took Kazmi by the back of her hair, by her ponytail, and dragged her through the ground. Dragged her all the way up to Moshe Rabbeinu. What's with the dragging? Why did he have to drag her? What's up with that? And then Zimri himself, it's just, something's going on here. There's got to be a big mistake. What was Zimri's big mistake? The idea is like this. Zimri knew that there was Kedusha and Moab. He knew that there was Rus, and Rus was going to come out later. But he figured, why wait? Why wait another 250 to 300 years for Rus to be brought out into Klal Yisrael and for Rus to start the whole thing with David HaMelech? Why not do it right now? Find the Kedusha in Moab, grab it right now, and take it for ourselves. The one thing that Balak was worried about in the first place. Balak messed up so badly he sent his own daughter in to mess up. But within that daughter was all the Kedusha that Bnei Yisrael needed. Why? Kazbi, and we're going into a little bit of Gilgulim over here. Kazbi is the Gilgul of Dina. Zimri happens to be a Gilgul of Shechem. Just like Shechem raped Dina before, the hope shot is supposed to be fixing that up. For Shechem and Dina to go the opposite way, for Shechem to be the one to take away the Kedusha and bring the Kedusha back to Klal Yisrael, instead of Dina losing her Kedusha and going to the other nations, for that Kedusha to come back into Bnei Yisrael. So what he had to do is he had to grab Kazbi and show her that I don't care about your looks. I could care less about your beauty. I'm taking you because I think that you have all the Kedusha in Moab, and if I grab you and I marry you, all the Kedusha will be gone from Moab, and by doing so, there will be no need for Rus later on. I'll be the king of Klal Yisrael. I'll have a child who's going to end up being David HaMelech, and everything's going to be all good. That was Zimri's intentions, and that's why he ran up to Moshe Rabbeinu, grabbing Kazbi, and said, is this Mutter Aser? What do you think Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say? What kind of a stupid question is that? She's not Jewish. There's nothing about her. The Chassam Sofer said she was Megayer. But aside from that, there's nothing to say that she's regularly Jewish. Why would he have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to say, go ahead, do whatever you want? Of course he wasn't going to say that. The pshat is because he didn't know. Moshe Rabbeinu saw there was a crazy amount of Kedusha here. This is Dina and Shechem. He saw what was up with Zimri and Kazbi, but he didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to do. He knew something was up. He knew something was wrong over here. But Hashem didn't give him the siyata d'shmaya to realize there was the wrong situation. That it all started from the kubah that Bilam had already started. The only person who was able to realize that is the guy by the name of Pinchas. The guy by the name of Pinchas. Why Pinchas over everybody else? Pinchas darshaned the pasuk when the brothers heard about Dina. They went and they destroyed the city. Remember how many people were there? It's a machlokas. But according to the Seder, there was 24,000 people there, corresponding to 24,000 people that die right over here. They went and they destroyed the entire city. They destroyed the entire city of Shechem, all 24,000 people. When Yaakov went up to them later, Yaakov looked at them and said, why do you guys do that? Why do you do it? So their line was, HaKizona Yasa Achoseinu. What, you want our sister to be like a Zona? But it's strange, because Yasa is a future tense. What does that mean, like a Zona, our sister will be? Why will be? And the pshat is, Pinchas looked at that and said, if it happens through a Zona, it's not going to work. The Kedusha is not going to happen. So they looked at this situation. Pinchas looked at the situation and said, she's a Zona. She's trying to grab people from Klal Yisrael and make them sin. In this situation, Dina's going to come back. The Shvatim already said it's impossible. It can't be. It can't happen this way. So because of that, Pinchas looked at everything and said, it can't be. It's not going to work. This is not the situation in which everything's going to be good. There's no way that Kazmi and Zimri are doing it for the right reasons. It's all messed up. And Pinchas went ahead and took the spear and destroyed all of them. Where did he get that? Where did he get that from? Why Pinchas? See, Yaakov Ruveni says an awesome thing with the Satan. Satan's not a dumb guy. Satan made Eliezer marry a daughter of Yisro. Yisro was known as the man who was the Ben Poti, the guy who was a fattener of calves to Avodah Zarah. I mean, he made people worship Avodah Zarah. He ended up coming back and he did the tshuva. It's machlokas at the end of his life if he went back to Avodah Zarah. If he didn't go back to Avodah Zarah, he was definitely there by Matan Torah, or right after Matan Torah. But did he go back? Did he go back to his old ways or did he stay with the Jews? That's a bit of a question. That's in Parshas Baaloscha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to happen, but the Satan made Eliezer, the son of Aaron, marry Elazar, the son of Aaron, marry one of Yisro's daughters. Marry another one of Yisro's daughters, not Zipporah obviously, but another one of Yisro's daughters. The son from that relationship was Pinchas. Pinchas, thus the Satan thought, was on his side. He's a person from the Tzad of Tuma. The Tzad of Tuma, which is Yisro's side, he thought that Pinchas was going to be on his side. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that Pinchas would not be a Kohen until he proves himself worthy. And Hashem made a deal that nobody is going to be a Kohen unless they're born after Aaron, Nadav, Aviu, Elazar, and Itamar are consecrated to be Kohen Gadols. After that, then anybody who's born will be a Kohen. But Pinchas, he was never a Kohen. The Satan got so upset, he immediately made Nadav and Aviu sin. He made them have Gaiva, and he got them to mess up. Nadav and Aviu's souls went straight up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Yaakov Ruvani, and begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, bring us back and make sure that we get our tikkun, that we do something right, because it was the Satan's fault that we just died. It's not our fault, it was Gaiva that he caused within us. So make the Satan bring us back. So Hashem did a whole roundabout situation where all the Jews would be fooled into marrying Goyim, which is the same thing that Pinchas had, that his mother was a Goy. She had converted, but it was the same type of situation. Dafka Pinchas had the ability to get up somebody who was born from a good situation, a relationship between a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman. He came from a good situation like that and was able to kill the person who had it in a bad situation, which was Zimri and Cusby. He was able to kill and get around that situation. He was able to take his own nekama on there. We'll get into the neshamos in a second, but none of you were definitely around in that time. They were definitely around there. The Panach Raza says he saw men in the sky, a great big men. It was bloodied. It had blood all over it. I don't know if anybody's seen a men here. If you have, I suggest you call someone. But he saw a bloodied mem all throughout the entire sky, flying through the air, looking for the letters Vav and Tuf. And if it found those letters Vav and Tuf, it would cause Mavis for all of Klal Yisrael. He made sure that it wouldn't happen, and he took his own name, which is the gematria of Resh and Ches. He put it together with the Mem, and he came out with Resh Mem Ches, which is a Romach. That was the spear that he used. He put his own Kochos within that Romach. The pshat behind that is because 248 are the amount of letters that there are in. And what? The words in. I'm sorry, the words in. Kriya Shema, the Mitzvah says. Why did he take Kriya Shema? Who said Parshas Kriya Shema? Yaakov Avinu. 248 is the gematria of Avraham. Yitzchak himself is the gematria of Pinchas of 208. There were a lot of things going on. He took all this chosavos that was possibly out there, grabbed them all together, put it together with that mem, and he came out with a complete romach to be able to destroy anything that was going to come around, to be able to take care of all the bad things that were going to come out there. But before he did it, Av Chema Avon and Mashchis, the four terrible malachim, which are malachim of destruction, which are also known as demons, came down and started killing B'nai Yisrael. That's why when it says Behem Bochen, it says people, when they saw when Moshe Rabbeinu was crying in Pasuk Vav in last week's Parsha, they said they were crying Pesach Ol Moed. Rashi says they were saying Kriya Shema. Why Kriya Shema? You ever look at Kriya Shema? Shema is, the first letter and the last letter is a Shin and a Dalet, which is for Shadim. Because anytime you say Kriya Shema, this is why we say Kriya Shema at night, it destroys the Shadim. It destroys all the mazikin that are around you. In between the Shema and Echad is a Mem Ayin and an Aleph Ches. That's Mashchis, Avon, Af, and Chema. The first letters of each one. The whole pshat behind saying Shema Yisrael, aside from the 28 letters, aside from the 7 words, aside from all the kochos behind that, it's the Shadim of Mashchis, Avon, Af, and Chema are all destroyed by saying Kriya Shema. They saw Mashchis, Avon, Af, and Chema going out there trying to destroy all B'nai Yisrael. They immediately started saying Shema, and they were able to take care of most of it. But somebody had to finish it off, and that was Pinchas with the Romach by taking all this chus of all the avos, putting it all together, he was able to do. Why Pinchas? Why Pinchas himself? What did he have within him to do this? All these things? There's a Ben Ish Chai. You're not going to see a Ben Ish Chai like this too often, but when you can, you got to go into it. Ben Ish Chai says, Pinchas, in his name, had the kochos of two major tzaddikim. Major tzaddikim. And it happens to be, they're the only two people that are known as tzaddik in the Torah. Pinchas is the gematria of hat tzaddik, so it works out well. One's 209, one's 208, but we know that one off is the kolal, so that all works out. But he had the gematria of tzaddik within him. Pinchas had the two tzaddikim. The only two people are known as tzaddik in the Torah. Who are those two people? Noach ish tzaddik, we know, and Yosef a tzaddik. We know Noach and Yosef. Both of them went up against the riot, and they're able to destroy all the arise around them. Yosef, we know, had a rise with Ishus Potiphar, and he was able to stop himself and be able to control himself from everything. Noach was known as an Ish Tzaddik because he lived in the time of pure arise. He was able to control himself and knock himself down from any thoughts of arise that there were out there. Pinchas is made of Pe, Yud, and Samach within his name, and there's a Nun and a Ches. It's Noach and Yosef within his name. He had those two things within him to be able to control himself and to control all the things out there. Also within his soul was a special soul of Yisro, a special part of Yisro, a nitzot, a spark of Yisro, to be able to fix up the other part, which is Avodah Zarah. And only then, when Pinchas saw that there was Avodah Zarah going on, because they were worshipping Baal Peor, which we'll talk about later, as well as Arias, because they were all running together with all these women who aren't Jewish, that's when Pinchas realized, I can do this, because I'm Noach and Yosef, and I'm also Yisro. I have Avodah Zarah, and I also have Arias to be able to be Metakein, everything all together, and I can do this. And Noach himself needs this, because Noach's whole problem, we know, was the fact that he never davened for anybody in Klal Yisrael. So Davka Pinchas, by a follow that he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, stop the plague, he was able to fix up the sin of Noach, the sin of Yosef, of getting around Arise, or getting into Arise just a tiny little bit, that Yosef started to get in there, and Yisro for being Mefatim Agol and Avodah Zarah, for getting around Avodah Zarah. Davka Pinchas was able to do that, but you think that's it? No. It's still Dasan and Aviram. Dasan and Aviram were into Gaiva. They somehow had Gaiva. And the Chazal say that their Gaiva was they never wanted to marry anybody in Klal Yisrael. Because they said, they're not good enough for me. They're not good enough for me. That was partly Arias also. Nadav and Avihu knew that was their one problem. They had never gotten married. Had they gotten married and become Kohen Gadols, nothing would have been a problem. Everything would have been fine. They never would have been Makar the Ketorah Zara. Everything would have been fine. Nadav and Avihu knew that. They came down and they entered inside Pinchas as well. Their neshamas came in after Pinchas had died. Pinchas did die, by the way. It's one of the 12 miracles that I mentioned by the Yonos Menuzio and also in the Medrash Rabbah. There are 12 huge miracles that happened that he's able to stick the spear into Cosby and Zimri at the same time. They were switched around. He was able to fly them around the tent. He's able to get everything around. Pinchas could fly, by the way. But that's not until Parshas Matos when he fights against Bilam. But Pinchas was able to do all these 12 miracles. Everything all happened. One of the reasons why there's 10 miracles is Pinchas, the small yud over here. The small yud is supposed to stand for the 10 miracles that he was able to do. All that happened with Nadav and Avihu when they came back into his body after Pinchas was shocked to death. He was able to come back with just that. There's a little bit more. We know that Pinchas became Eliyahu HaNavi. The Sforno and the Ibn Ezra say it's not good, because it says afterward, it says over here, it says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vaisa Lo Lazaro Acharav Bris Kunas Olam. For him and his children after him, they got the bris of Kuna forever. So they say if he has children after him, he couldn't have lived forever, because it sounds like after he already died. Says everybody else, no. It means after he already goes up to Shemayim, because we know Eliyahu HaNavi goes up to Shemayim, but that's Ibn Ezra. The Sforno says it means he lived for a very long time. He lived to the times of Pelegish V'Giva, maybe a little bit longer, but he didn't live that much longer than that. But Pinchas did live all the way up until there. Yonas Ben Uziel says straight out he's Eliyahu HaNavi. And I got a good gematria. This is one of those that, like, if it wasn't brought down from Sinai, you never would have made this up. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen is a gematria, I think, of 1012. I think that works out. Somebody wants to do it really quickly. It's altogether 956. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen is exactly equal to Eliyahu HaNavi Atishbi HaGilada. So if you made that up, somebody's going to look at it. It's the exact same gematria. You have to sit there and just be like, something's up. Something's up. So either way, regardless, Yonas Ben Uziel says he definitely was. It's mentioned by the Pirkei Rebbe Elazar. It's all over the place. It's in a Medrash Rabbah, but not over here. It's elsewhere. That Eliyahu HaNavi was Pinchas. It was Pinchas over here. And that's the whole pshat, that he had the Sholem. The Bris of Sholem was supposed to be Sholem from the Malach HaMavis, and he never died. He never died whatsoever. But the Sforno says it was just that he lived for a very, very long time. Regardless, he had two neshamas of Eliyahu. You know, there's a machlokes throughout Chazal who Eliyahu is. Eliyahu was a Kohen. That's what it mentions in Bab Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Says that he was a Kohen. It also mentions that Eliyahu HaNavi is supposed to be from Shevet Gad. Supposed to come from Shevet Gad and enter inside Eretz Yisrael. Elsewhere, it also says that he's from Bnei Rachel, that Eliyahu HaNavi is supposed to be from either Binyamin or from Yosef. That's a machlokes. Well, the reason why is because Pinchas is a Kohen, and thus if Eliyahu is Pinchas, he was a Kohen as well. And aside from that, he had two different neshamos of Eliyahu. There's Eliyahu Mishevet Gad and Eliyahu Mishevet Rachel. Now, I told you, this is a Ben Ishchai that you're not going to hear anywhere else. So, that, by the way, for those who are tallying, that's seven neshamas inside Pinchas. That's only if you're tallying, so if you can mark them down. Seven. By the way, so that he had seven neshamas altogether. Those two neshamas of Eliyahu HaNavi stayed within him to be able to form a huge amount of Pinchas, and they were the only neshamas that left later on. If we all know the story of Pinchas, later on he was punished for not going to Yiftach when Yiftach promised the first thing to come out of his house after he won the war. He was going to be Makar as a korban to Hashem. His daughter came out first. He was going to sacrifice his daughter. Right before he sacrificed his daughter, he made sure the daughter went up to a huge mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yelled at Pinchas, why didn't you go over in the matar up the nether? He yelled at Yiftach, why didn't you go to Pinchas to go matar up your nether? Yiftach got punished that he was given atrophy, which means his limbs fell off limb by limb all throughout Eretz Yisrael, and he was buried all throughout Eretz Yisrael, which is disgusting. Pinchas was punished that he was finally able to either die, according to the Sforno and the Ibn Ezra, or that he was led up to Shemayim, and he wasn't able to stay down on earth anymore, and he lost most of his neshamis. He definitely lost another Ben Aviv. Those went to Yonah Ben Amittai. Yonah Ben Amittai was the one who Eliyahu HaNavi lived. Remember, Eliyahu HaNavi caused Tchias HaMesim? So his two neshamas, another Ben Aviv, went inside Yonah Ben Amittai. That's Yonah that we know of that got stuck in the fish. explains a lot about Yonah. Trust me that he had another Navi in it. But we're not going to go into that right now. But regardless, that's what happened with him. Aside from the fact that he had those two Eliyahus, that's also the Pshat and Pinchas being Eliyahu times 4. Eliyahu is a Gematria 52, Pinchas is 208. 52 times 4 is 208. Very good. So it's 208 altogether. The reason why is because Eliyahu and Navi takes 4 flights to come down to earth according to the Gemara and Brachos and Abdallah and Malach, or because there were really 4 total Neshamas inside Pinchas. One was a combination of Noach and Yosef, the other was the two Eliyahus together, then there was Dasan and Abiram, and the final one was supposed to be Yisra. Those are supposed to be the 4 Neshamas. Okay, whatever. Those
why
are mentioned by.
Someone wanted to be on earth rather than Neshamas.
You'd rather be on earth just to get the mitzvos. You'd rather. Everybody says that. You'd much rather be on earth rather than just getting a reward. You feel like a Nebuch when you're just getting a reward, but you much rather have the mitzvos, get all the mitzvos, do the different stuff that you can while you're here on earth. That's what they say. In the end, we have to go back to Cusby and Zimri. Cusby and Zimri go crazy. Cusby and Zimri go absolutely crazy because we know that they were originally Dina and Shechem, and it was 24,000 people of Shechem originally. This became the 24,000 people that died right now by Shevet Shimon, as well as Cusby and Zimri. Zimri being the leader and everything getting messed up. How did they mess up so badly? Later on, they became two different people. Zimri became Rabbi Akiva. Cusby became Aishas Turnus Rufus. How did that happen, and what happened over there? Yaakov is the king of Torah law. We know that his Mida was learning Torah, that he was the greatest at learning Torah. Part of his Torah learning was that 50th level, the ultimate level of Torah learning. Anybody know what that 50th level is? 50th level of Torah learning, the highest level you can possibly get to. There's no way you can get any higher.
You know why people get punished.
Tzadik, right? Viralo. Tzadik Viralo. Well, that's also known as it's Tzadi of Tzadik. Vira is Vav and Resh. That's Tzur. Knowing that God is a rock, that's why we say Tzur Tamim Palo. The rock. Everything he does is absolutely perfect. Because sometimes you have a question. You say, not everything that God does is perfect. There's problems with what God does. I can't believe he did this. I can't believe he did that. But what in the world is going on with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? To that we say, no, Hatzur. The Tzur, the rock. He is steadfast. You can't do anything to him. Tamim Pa'alo. He's perfect in everything he does, and there's nothing wrong with him. It's Tzadik Viralo. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, and it's for a good reason. That's what we understand. Yaakov Avinu was the first person to understand that concept, and maybe the last. Maybe the last. He was definitely the only person to get up to that high level. When? When he saw Rachel for the first time. That's when he went to the well, and the massive rock that was on top of the well. We know there's Pshat behind the Chumash, and there's also Remez behind the Chumash. The Remez is the well. Stands for the waters of Torah. The rock stands for the 50th level of Torah. None of the shepherds who represented the Chachamim and the Talmid Chachamim of Klal Yisrael, none of them could roll it off. Even when they were together, they had to all do it together, and then only then could they get a little bit of the water. Yaakov Avinu was able to see Rachel and be able to knock off that rock completely. He's able to knock off the tzur and realize bad things happen to good people. So when Dina got raped, you don't hear Yaakov yelling out. Shechem and Chamor come over to Yaakov Avinu. It's the strangest thing in the world. They come over to Yaakov Avinu and they say, I'm sorry, but your daughter got raped. We raped your daughter. I'm really sorry. Shechem comes over to him. Now I want to marry her. What does Yaakov say? What's Yaakov's comment? You expect Yaakov to say, I can't believe! Like, something like that. Yaakov is silent. Nothing. He's just sitting there. Shechem and Chamor are like, what the heck just happened? Why in the world isn't he talking? What's going on here? But all of a sudden, the Shvatim come back, and the Shvatim go crazy. What do you mean? How could this be? Go get Bris Milas. We don't want you to be anywhere near us. But Yaakov, you know, he understood. Tzadik Viralo. These things happen. He's okay with it. He's a person who understands there's perfection behind everything. So when Shimon and Levi went and destroyed the city of Shechem, Yaakov Avinu went up to them and told them, you're wrong. Don't do that. That's not what you're supposed to do. Let the world, maybe Shechem was supposed to come into Klal Yisrael. You weren't supposed to bring them and supposed to leave them out like that. You were supposed to bring them in. We had to bring them in slowly, you're right. But you killed them all. Shimon and Levi needed a tremendous tikkun for everything they did over here. So they came back as Zimri and Pinchas. Zimri is from what Shevet? Shevet Shimon. Pinchas is from what Shevet? Shevet Levi. Levi was able to be mataking the problem. Shimon still had the problem. He was still hot-headed. He still lost 24,000 people. But it was Shevet Shimon who was trying to fix up the whole sin in the first place. They said, I'm Zimri. I'm the one who's trying to do everything. And Cusby is Dina. We're trying to fix up everything. It's Shimon that's in charge over here. Shimon's the one who's supposed to do everything. But Shimon screwed it up because Hakizone Yasa Achosenu, they did it the wrong way. Levi had to come along through Pinchas and say, everything's all wrong. We have to do it all over again. And it did happen all over again with Rebbe Akiva, his 24,000 Talmidim, and Aishas Turnus Rufus. We know the famous Gemara in Nidarim, that Aishas Turnus Rufus, who was the Neshama of Kazbi, who ended up being, who obviously was Neshama all the way back of Dina, came in front of Rebbe Akiva. Now Rebbe Akiva is the only other person to get close to this level of the 50th level. We know he went up to parties, to the highest level that's possibly up there, Pshat Remez Drushin Sod. Get up to a level that nobody's able to understand, but he understood it. Akiva's up there. It's shocking that Akiva's name is the same letters as Yaakov, except for the Aleph. The exact same thing. But he's the only person who was able to get up to, to that level, the 50th level, and understand it and say, okay, I get it, and I'm not going to learn anymore. Ben Azai died, Ben Zoma went crazy, Elisha and Avuya became a kofer. Rebbe Akiva was able to get up there and say, okay, I understand it. And he went down. What did he say? He said, when you get up there, you're going to see rocks up there that look like marble, that look like water. Don't say it's water, because it's not. It's really rocks. Which everybody says, what? What does that mean? The shot is, you're going to see things, and you're going to be fooled, because the Malachim are going to show you this and that and whatever, and you're going to think to yourself, oh, what is God doing? Don't be fooled. Tzadik Varalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows bad things to happen for certain reasons. You're not going to know them until much, much later on. That's what Rebbe Akiva was telling everybody. How did Rebbe Akiva start off? What convinced him that he could learn Torah? What convinced him? He saw the water going into a rock, boring into a rock. You think that's just dumb? He was looking at a rock and he's like, wow, water. Hey, Chinese torture could be the same way. Like, he could have just done that with anything. He could have seen a little river. He could have seen anything. Why the rock? The pshat is, again, the tzur. He saw the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu must do things for a reason. What are those reasons? Who cares? It's Tzadik Varalo. There are things that are out there that we don't have to understand, and that's the 50th level. Rebbe Akiva was able to get up to that top level, and he got there with Aishas Turnus Rufus. His 24,000 Talmidim didn't get up there. They tried. They tried to understand it, but they didn't get up there, and that's why all 24,000 had to die again. And they're going to have to come back again, because they weren't able to be metakin their neshamas. But those 24,000, they'll come back eventually, and they'll come back and be metakin everything. Rebbe Akiva was metakin everything right then, because Aishas Turnus Rufus says the Gemara in the Dharma Daf Nun, Aishas Turnus Rufus got him in a corner. She put her henchman on one side. He was walking through an alley. She stood on the other side of the alley. There was no way for him to go past. The only way he'd be able to go past is by touching Aishas Turnus Rufus. By this time, his wife had passed away, and Aishas Turnus Rufus had hoped that Rebbe Akiva would be so into her, because she was so beautiful, that immediately he would fall. Rebbe Akiva did a crazy thing. Rok sochak ubacha. He spat, then he laughed, and then he cried. Random. So obviously, Aishas Turnus Rufus looked at him and said, what? What just happened? Forgot everything. Forgot her whole plan. Just said, what's going on here? What in the world did you just do? She said, you know what I just did? I spat that such beauty was able to make all my original neshama and the neshama before that make us sin. I can't believe that such beauty got my original neshamas. I laughed. I cry. We have to do cry first. I cried because I saw that your beauty eventually is going to go into the dust, that eventually that this tikkun is going to happen. And I cried that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is eventually going to happen. And I laughed. Why?
Because I got you.
Eventually, he was going to marry Aishas Turnus Rufus. He didn't tell it to her at the time, but he said, I know that I'm going to be metakin it this time, and now I'm going straight to Shemayim. That my neshama no longer has to be down here. That's the pshat behind them, and you think it's all over. There's still the 24,000. That's also the pshat behind why, in the Gemara Pesachim on Memtas Mavez, later on, he did marry her. Aishas Turnus Rufus was so shocked by the answer, she went back to Turnus Rufus. Turnus Rufus yelled at her, she left him, she brought her all her money, and she married Rebbe Akiva. Whole big thing. But regardless, that's the pshat behind the Gemara Pesachim on Memtas Mavez, where Rebbe Akiva says, when I was in Am Haaretz, I would bite Talmidei Chachamim like a donkey. And the Talmidim said, Rebbe, say like a dog. And he said, no, donkeys break bones. Again, people say, what? What in the world is going on with that Gemara? The pshat is, he was Chamor. He was from Shechem, Ben Chamor. He was all about the donkey. He was all about doing these types of things, of biting and destroying and doing everything like that. All of a sudden he realized he was all wrong. It's Tzadik Varalo. There are certain things that are supposed to be out there that you're not supposed to understand, and that's the pshat behind it. Just know, to bring it all back, Zimri, which is 257, minus Akiva, which is 183, is 74. 74 is the big Ayin and the big Dalet in Kriyas Shema. which is why the last thing that that Rabbi Akiva had to do at the end of his life is say Kriya Shema. Shockingly, who was the first person to say Kriya Shema? Yaakov Avinu. When he saw Yosef for the first time, he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He was the one who was able to say it. I know the Shvatim said it to him before that, but he was the one who said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He's the person behind that. I mean, there's just connections all over the place. I'm giving you guys about maybe a fifth of what is total and what is over here, like what you can say over here. But that's the basic idea of what happened over here, and that's what happened with Zimri and Cosby that eventually came back. People didn't believe that Pinchas did a good thing. So I got to add on this Chassam Sofer. How do they know Ben Potizeh? Where'd they get this idea, that word, Ben Potizeh, this guy who fattens the Agolan? Where'd he get that from? Where'd they get that word poti? I never even heard the word poti before. Where did they mention that word poti? So it's very cute. At first they thought Pinchas Ben Elazar is Rashi Tavis, and they were very into names. Pinchas Ben Elazar is Pei Beis Aleph, which is the Gematria of 83, which is Gematria of the Pei Gimel Machala. Machala is the Gematria of 83, if you guys have done the Gemara in Bava Kama in the 7th, in the 8th Perek, in Perek Achovo. Towards the end, it says Pei Gimel Machlos, there are inside an Adam, and by eating bread in the morning, by drinking water in the morning, by having breakfast, basically, you're able to destroy all 83 different types of Machlos. That's the Pei and the Gimel. That was Pinchas Ben Elazar, and they thought that he was the one that caused the Machla. He was the one that caused the plague in all of Klal Yisrael from the Pei Gimel over there. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's not from him. That's why they added on Ben Aaron HaKohen in the Pasuk. It's a Beis Aleph and a Hey. Altogether, that's another 8. Pei Gimel plus 8 is 91. 91 is the Gematria of Havaya, Yud Hey Vav Hey, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So because of that, they saw that the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was completely within Pinchas, and everything he did was L'shem Shemayim, so it was all good. But aside from, where did they get the poti from? This is a very cute one. Pinchas, the first letter is Pei. Ben Elazar Ben Aaron. Ben Elazar Ben Aaron is 2121. That's 6 altogether. That's the Vav. HaKohen, Heshiv, is the Yud. That's Hey and Hey. Es Hamasi is an Aleph and a Ches. That's 9, which is the Test. That's Pei Vav, not in order, but Test Yud. Ben Potizeh. They got it out from the very first words of the Pasuk. Ben Potizeh, this guy, who the Pasuk is being made, that he is relations to Yisro. That's the Pshat. But what Hashem was trying to say is like what we were just saying before. He was metaking Yisro. He fixed up Yisro. He made everything work out well. That was the only thing behind it. And by the way, Bikanoas Kinasi. Bikanoas Kinasi is a Beis Aleph Kuf, which is a Gematria of Egel. And it's all because of the original Egel Azov. As we mentioned before, everything's because of the Egel Azov. The Egel Azov is always around over here. That's all around over here. Okay, now I'm going to tell you guys a word that you can say at a Shabbos table. Because until now, it hasn't really been anything that you can really say out. This is a very key one, though. It's a really, really good. Heshivis Hamasi. He returned my wrath upon Bnei Yisrael. What's the Pshat behind this? The Gra has a famous word about Tzedakah. He says, Tzedakah Tatzil Mimavis. It saves you from death. So how does that work? So we say there's a Machatzis HaShekel. There's the half shekel, which is your first example of Tzedakah, where you give Tzedakah. So listen how this works. By Machatzis HaShekel, you have a Tzadi in the middle. That Tzadi stands for Tzedakah. Surrounding it is the letters Mem Ches Yud Tav. Near the Tzadik, near the Tzedakah, is what letters? The Ches and the Yud. Chai, life, surrounds Tzedakah. So if you give Tzedakah, you're close to life, and you're far away from Mem and Tav, which is death. You're close to life, you're far away from death. That's the famous Gra that Tzedakah Tazel Mimavis has learned out from over there. The Gra applies it. I don't know if it's the Gra, or it's, I don't remember where I got this from originally, but I think it was someone that it was applied from the Gra onto this week's Parsha. Heshiv Es Chamasi, he returned my wrath from Bnei Yisrael. What does that mean, he returned my wrath? That he got rid of my wrath from Bnei Yisrael? Chamasi means what? Ches, Mem, Tav, Yud. Chai on the outside, Mes on the inside. What's the Pshat? By a Rasha has a physical life, but on the inside, his neshama is dead. He's dead. His neshama is totally dead. But a tzaddik is just the opposite. On the outside, he looks like garbage. He's mace on the outside, but he's chai on the inside. His neshama is all out there. His neshama is all good. So thus, by a tzaddik, it should be mace on the outside, chai on the inside. It should be the word michyas. But by a rasha, it should be chai on the outside, mace on the inside. That should be chamasi. So what we said is, Pinchas Ben Elazar Ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv es Chamasi. He turned around the Chamasi, which is a Rasha, into Michyas, which is Tzadik. He turned around the wrath, which was going for Rashayim, into the Mesim, which is Tzadikim. And the final board that you can add on to this is another Ben Ish Chai. I know I've been really into the Chassam Sofer Ben Ish Chai today. I don't know, it's just a random day. But Zimri is the final board behind that. Zimri was Zayin Yud on the outside. He was Tov. Zayin Yud is the Gemashri of Tov on the outside. But on the inside, what was he? Mar. Bitter. He was extremely bitter on the inside. So on the outside, Zimri looked like a great person. But on the inside, he was a terrible person with a lot of bitter feelings inside. And that's what came out of him when he got together with Cosby. By the way, the Yaakov Uveni says that the klipa for Znus, the klipa that makes you do Znus, its name is Larry. Now, it's not in English. It's Lamed Resh Yud. But it happens to be the same gematria as Resh Mem. So Lamed Resh Yud is Larry. So within Pinchas is this klipa to always want to do Znus. On the outside, he might be good, but on the inside, he's completely against. So if you ever see a guy named Larry, stay away. Stay as far away from him as you can. Yeah. It's also a Molech. A Molech is 240. Yes, it is. 100%. Very good. Very good. It's also Suffolk then. It's also Suffolk. Lots of good things for that. All right, so we got a lot of good things for that. Shkoyev, that's a good one. That's a very good one. I was going to go into Yoshua Ben Nun. It's a crazy medrash, but it'll take me too long. I don't know. You guys are for sure. Well, I don't know if you've heard it before, but you know how Yoshua became. Whatever, whatever. Let's go into. I'd rather go into Balpor because I love Balpor, and I never get to say it, and this is the best parsha for it. What's up with an idol that you go to the bathroom on? Why? Just who thought of it? Can you imagine, like, sitting around and just be like, yeah, I got a good one. Wait, listen to this. Like, you just, the more you go, the better it is. We'll time them, and we'll figure out, we'll see. And all over, they say that there was a Jew who had no idea that there was such an Avodah Zarah, and these priests got him to go inside, and he went inside, and he wanted to show them, like, he doesn't care about the Avodah Zarah. So he went inside, and he started to pish all over the Avodah Zarah's foot. So the priests are like all happy. They're like, yeah, you're the man.
Isn't that what the Midrash says, that that Midian got...
The Midian were able to get them through this, 100%.
Exactly. So
similar.
So they're not Chayav B'mezid.
No, these guys are still Chayav. They're not Chayav B'mezid. It was a problem more of their thoughts, why they wanted to do it in the first place, why they wanted to go anywhere near. But you're right, 100%. They're not Chayav for B'mezid of Avodah Zarah. That's not what they're Chayav for at all. According to Zohar, by the way, only the Erev Rav died. There was no person from B'nai Yisrael. Even though the Ramban says that 153,000 people died altogether, 153,000. Still, it was only from the Erev Rav. But anyway, let's just think. They went ahead and they went to the bathroom on top of the feet of the Avodah Zarah, on top of the feet of the Avodah Zarah. The priest started going crazy. The guy's like, what in the world? What's going on here? So he decides to go to the bathroom. I mean, number two, all the way down, just goes right there on top of the Avodah Zarah and starts going to the bathroom. And the priests are also going nuts. They're like, yes, yes, keep going. So the guy's like, come on, what in the world? So he picks up the feces and spreads it all over the plate, all over the face of Baal Peor. And the priests look at him and say, we've never had anyone serve our idol as great as you ever have. What kind of Avodah Zarah is this? How could this possibly be? How could there be such a thought that you can have an Avodah Zarah like that? It doesn't make any sense. So Rabbi Schuster is an old Rebbe from Skokie Yeshiva. Old Rebbe from Skokie Yeshiva. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. He set over a shir in a seminary once. I got the tape from the seminary because I heard it, and he gave an unbelievable example. He gave an unbelievable example. Jane Fonda. Everybody remembers who she is? Garbage lady, whatever. Old actress and everything. So Jane Fonda in the 60s, in the height of the 60s and the early 70s, she decided she was going to make a house. She announced she was going to make a house without any doors. Everything was going to be open to every room in the house. No doors for the bathroom, no doors for the bedroom, no doors anywhere. It wasn't going to be just an open house, but it was going to be rooms without doors, just doorways, and that's it. And people could walk through, people could go wherever they wanted. Because there's no such thing as privacy. Everybody should be open with everybody else. You want to get dressed in front of everybody else. Just typical hippie, stupid mentality. Do whatever you want in front of everybody else. We all know hippie mentality was also start calling your parents by their first names. Start calling the professors by their first names. Go up to your professor and just be like, hey, Bob, what's going on? Hey, Jack, hey, John, what's going on? And to go up to your parents and be like, hey, hey, how are you? Larry, and I don't know, give a woman's name.
Martha.
Larry and Martha. Like, going home, just like, hi, son. You know, that's no kavod whatsoever. Why? Because you feel you're on top of the world. The whole Avodah Zarah of Baal Peor is to have no kavod. kavod for anything in the world. To go to the bathroom on the idol, to tell you, you can do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. You want to go to the bathroom on the idol? Go for it. Do whatever you want to do. You want to smash the idol? Go ahead. Go ahead, do whatever you want. That's the idea behind Baal Peor. To be free. Be free of anything. Be free of any restrictions, any laws, anything that might hold you down. Do what you want, when you want, wherever you want. Do whatever you want to do. If you want to go to the bathroom, go ahead. And the idea was to dirty up your life. Destroy your life. Go to the bathroom on your entire life. Who cares? Live your life for what it is right now and forget about what's going to be in the future. Don't worry about what's going to be in the future. The entire hippie's mentality was supposed to be the idea behind Baal Peor. You can understand why the Jews, who have been sitting in the desert with rule after rule after rule after law after law after law, sitting there without only having mun and only having water, they saw behind this and they said, you know, that's a great idea. It sounds good. To be free of everything? To allow myself to do anything? They saw the pshat behind this and they said, I want to be free. I want to be able to not do these things. I want to be able to get out there and do whatever I want. They had that hippie mentality. That had that sort of a thing, or some of them did. And they wanted to go ahead and do this. And thus they got caught. They were the ones who went out there. That's the word Vayitzmad. Vayitzmad lebaal poor, hanitzmadim babaal poor. You see that throughout the parsha. What's the word summit? Summit is like a yoke that's between two oxen. It connects the oxen together. What it's trying to do is trying to connect Bnei Yisrael. All it's saying is you're attracted to it. Bnei Yisrael were attracted to such an idea. Not that they literally worshipped it. And they said, oh, this is God. They knew Hashem, who Hashem was. They knew Hashem was out there. And I kept saying to every kid, every single person from Bnei Yisrael understood that God was out there. But they said to themselves, what's wrong with the ideas behind Baal Peor? Why can't I do these ideas behind Baal Peor? For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't have such people in Klal Yisrael. I can't have such people out there. Such people who think you can do whatever you want? It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. On a side note, do you know what started the 60s? Side note. There was a professor that did a whole long research project and wanted to figure out what started the hippie movement. What started this movement to be free, to do whatever you wanted? And they had a machlokas. The machlokas is, it definitely started by people stopping wearing hats. By people not wearing hats anymore in public. It started sometime around the late 60s. It either happened because of one of two reasons. Number one, the Korean War. Korean/Vietnam War. No, like early 60s, whatever, somewhere around then. Because of that, because of either the Vietnam War or because of the Korean War, one of the two, where people were wearing the helmets all the time when they went to war. When they came back, they couldn't wear helmets anymore. They had too many suppressed bad memories from the army. They had to take off their hats and they could no longer wear hats for the rest of their lives. They didn't wear hats. Obviously, they didn't become baseball players. But that was the problem. That was number one. That was the first problem. The second problem was JFK. JFK, in his inauguration, when he first became president on January 20th, when he first became president, did not wear a hat. And he was the first president to never, ever, he was the first anybody of any chashivas to not wear a hat in public. And by doing that, people started losing kavod. By stopping to cover themselves, they started to uncover themselves more and more and more and more until they uncovered themselves to the point where they are today. That's the idea behind the loss of kavod, the idea behind the loss of Hakaras HaTov for anyone. That's the idea of Baal Peor. That's what Bnei Yisrael were attracted to, and that's why Bnei Yisrael sinned. You can connect that back to Pinchas. I'm not going to right now. I can leave that up to you, but that's the reason behind it. Maybe we'll leave Yeshua for next time. But for now, all right, guys, have a good Shabbos.